Hi, I'm Akhilera.
And I'm Rohan Rahul.
Welcome to The Long Take. This week, we're discussing the new Alex Garland movie, Civil War, which is set in an indeterminate future where the late stages of a second civil war in the US and follows a team of photo journalists as they try to make their way from New York to Washington, D.C., the capital. What do you make of this movie, Rohan?
I had a really good time with this movie. I thought it was more entertaining than I would have imagined. I thought it was going to be more heavy, but then it's actually like a Alex Garland's version of what a masala movie could be.
I feel like the thrilling parts of it, like, you know, scene to scene of like, this is what the team is in now and this is how they're going to survive, what is what they're going through. That stuff is handled better in terms of than like, you know, the commentary side of it.
Yeah. I don't even know if there is an attempt to insert any sort of commentary, right? Because we're thrust in this situation. We aren't really told why anything is happening.
Yeah.
And we're left to kind of fill in the blanks that, oh, obviously this must have, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like extrapolation, right? Like you have to like, this is where the country is today, or this is where the world is today. You just extrapolate like at this what they must be going through. And which is like sort of like, in a way, like it doesn't really matter, like which is personified in that scene, right? Like not personified, but like sort of summarized in that scene where like that faraway sniper is trying to shoot at them in the middle of that Christmas, whatever, leftover. And they're like, no, we just, like, you know, there's just two sides. You just try to survive. There's no, like, which son we are, which setup they are.
Yeah, and I also, like, another reason for this vagueness could also be that, you know, you don't want to make it too American because versions of the same thing are happening in different countries around the world and the less...
And led by America.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, yahan ka toh, I don't know what America has to do with what's happening in our country.
No, but it's when, like, you know, like, the US has, like, sort of created these divisions across the world, right? Like, you could take, like, Iraq or whatever, Afghanistan. Like, it's always been, like, war's always been, like, something that's happened continents away from them. So it's almost like, I think Garland is trying to sort of bring that to the US of, like, oh, this is what, like, people go through when, like, stuff happens in a country.
Sure, and how stories about war are consumed by... you know, the Western civilization. So the way that this movie is made, it could have been set in like whatever Somalia and it would look the same. But now it's kind of like, I guess, putting a mirror to American society ki ye dekho tumhare ghar mein bhi ho sakta hai. Although obviously it is very exaggerated and highly stylized and very like,
I don't think we need to get into the logistics of it, and like, you know, that's been like cut through anyway by like 1,000 people of like, this doesn't make sense, that doesn't make sense, this would never happen this way. I think you just have to like keep that out of your mind of like, yeah, like he has imagined this world, and in this world this is how it's going down.
I mean, in a way, this is already what's happening. It's not like the surface level war of it is, people aren't like literally, there aren't factions in the country that have, you know, like proper names or whatever, but then there are factions in the country that exist on the basis of like beliefs and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that could be applied to anybody, actually, which is what makes it interesting. But then even like the journey of it is what Garland brings to it, right? That I think he's a more skilled genre filmmaker than like Jordan Peele or someone, right?
Right.
So like the road trip and just those set pieces that he has in the middle, those are like the highlights of the movie.
Yeah, it always feels weird in a movie like this to call it like a road trip though, because like it's more of like a harrowing journey. It's like there's no like trip happening here.
Yeah, but like they're all like willingly going, which is also interesting, right? Because it's, why do you want to cover it is another important question that the movie raises, right? Because I am assuming, and the movie doesn't show us like, say, the Arnab Goswami version of journalists, but I am guessing that they exist. Right? Because they must have contributed in some way to this disintegration of society.
Yeah. And even if they don't see them, they obviously exist even like in this moment. They must be like, you know, shouting off the top of their heads somewhere else.
Ha. But we don't see them, right? Which is the fun like choice that he has made. Like, I don't want to show them. I want to show people who are actually on the ground. And I mean, there's obviously like varying degrees of sincerity, but all of them, at least the four that we follow, are sincere in what they want to do.
Yeah.
Now, their motivations might be different. Like, the Wagner Moura character is not particularly likable. He's not he hits on the girl or whatever. We told, like, a passing comment hota hai uska bhi, which is like, yeah, I could see that happening. But then he is fairly clear-minded and almost, like, delusional to a point. Like, I want to get a quote from the president. Now, that's an impossibility. Even I know that, right? because of just the fortified nature of whatever we've been told, right?
Yeah, we've been like told, you know, they showed journalists on site. Like, that's literally like a line early on.
Hmm. So the prospect of interviewing him or getting him to talk is almost impossibility, right? Mm. Because we've seen like what happened to Gaddafi and all. Yeah. Like, those people aren't interviewed before they are killed.
Mm.
So he has that going for him. Like, the protagonist, Kirsten Dunst, uska to bahut hi vague hai. She's like clearly like just traumatized beyond beyond kind of salvation, right?
Because yeah, she's like, but by like, we think we touched upon it a few minutes ago, is like, she's seen a version of this around the world. Like, that's what the character they retold. Like, you know, she's a celebrated photojournalist. And so to almost see all of that, like, that's what he has a line for that also, right? She says, like, I thought when I was doing that work, I was sending a warning home.
Yeah.
So in a way, she feels like she's failed at her, like, job, you know, that whatever I did, like, it had no impact. We ended up doing the same thing that happens around the world.
Yeah. But that's what makes it interesting, right? She, there's no explanation for why she continues to do what she does, right? It's almost like instinctive for her.
Instinctive, like, as the elder character says, it's almost like existential. Like, you know, she's like, like, what else would she do in this time of like her life now?
Yeah. And which is, we get like, it's so nicely done when that opening scene, right? Where the bomb blast happens, where we learn everything we need to know about these people, at least two of them.
Yeah.
Where she doesn't like really think twice before pulling her camera out and just like...
Yeah, 10 seconds after like a bomb blast has happened, she's like photographing everything. It's almost like super desensitized, you know, you have to be.
Super desensitized. But also she saves the girl, right? Which is... what points to her humanity, like, oh, hey, like, there's a glimmer of it that still exists. That is also her instinct, right? Which is to protect, which she kind of does throughout the movie, right? She's very concerned about this young girl because she sees herself in...
which is why, like, it ends the way it ends. Although, the way it's, like, filmed and, like, done, I felt that it was a little too cold for me.
No, but I think that's the point, right? That's the kind of... That's the Garland coming out, also.
I understand, like, this is how Garland would do it. It's just, like, I felt, like, the given... Kirsten Dunst is the protagonist of your movie, to like her just have the body fall and like the movie just proceeds as if like nothing happened and like no acknowledgement after or before and just like, yeah, the end. Like, the movie ends 2 minutes after that.
The movie ends 2 minutes, but I can't imagine like a version of this movie where she gets like a Shraddhanjali or something. Like, I don't know. Or I think the point that the movie is trying to make in those final moments is that Kirsten Dunst's character throughout that final like skirmish, that kind of insurrection sequence, is rattled, right? She cannot function. So what she used to do earlier, which was to instinctively just grab the camera and photograph, she doesn't do it, right? She's barely like... So she has a kind of internal switch in that sequence, as does Jesse, right? Jesse has become more...
Yeah, Jesse's like arc is much more visible, right? Like, she starts off as like... like, fully, like, rooted, like, you know, traumatized, could not photograph, like, she, you know, when that happens in the back of the car wash. And from there, it's, like, an arc to the end of, like, to the White House, where she's, like, become so brazen that you're almost, like, wait, are you crossing some lines now?
She is, right, which is what Lee also notices.
Yeah.
Like, she is turning into this cold-hearted, desensitized person.
Plus, like, no, I would say, in a way, she's always becoming, like, a hawk, right? Like, at that moment, it's... like, the operation is more important. Like, she has put lives in danger. She put herself in danger. Like, Lee had to die for her.
Yeah. So, and Lee had to die to save her.
Mm.
But then what Jesse does in the moment is photograph Lee's death, right?
Mm.
Which is meant to tell us that, oh no, she's kind of lost. Right?
Yeah.
She's going to spend the next however many years, 20, 30, 40, behaving like Kirsten Dunst had in her last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And eventually, maybe someone will come along and make her see what's right and wrong, the same way that Kirsten Dunst got Jesse. Now, that is the kind of odd moral position, like odd, like complicated, like emotion that the movie leaves you with, and then it ends, right? Abruptly. Yeah. So, you're sitting in your seat and you're like, oh my God, what did I just watch? Firstly, I am physically rattled by just the noise of it. Like, 15 minutes se kya ho raha tha? And secondly, what I'm feeling is, I can't explain it, right? I'm not feeling happy, I'm not feeling sad, I'm not feeling catharsis. What am I feeling? And I think the abrupt ending is important, which is why it doesn't give you time to kind of process your emotions and leaves you like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And this is like an amazing sequence, right, at the end. But uske pehle Jesse Plemons thing happens, which I thought was like, oh, how can the movie top this?
Yeah. But no, I would say, still say, like, that scene is probably the highlight, even after the White House thing. Yeah.
it sets you up for the ending. So I'm kind of more prepared for, acha, so something's going to happen. But then I really thought like the last 15 minutes was next level. Like, I don't think it's easy to do what he kind of gets away with.
No, I sure. Like, I think on a pure thrill, like, it's visceral and you're in the moment. You're stuck. Like, it can be literally any battlefield in the world. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not Washington, D.C. anymore. But like the Jesse Pinkman scene is, I think still the highlight, because I think it's in the terms of like tension, right? Like, which, like,
yeah,
sure, like it has you in the grip like for 15 minutes, but it's hard to maintain over like such a long portion, because you have to like have ebb and flow. But the Plemons scene like doesn't let you go. You just like, who is this character and like what is he gonna do next? There's no way to find out. Like, when they went into it, I thought everything could happen. Like, one person could die, three could die, all could die. Like, I wasn't sure. I thought the movie could literally like go any direction and become something different. Like, I was like, yeah, no one's safe anymore.
Which is
not like true in so many action movies, right? Like, we know the hero's gonna survive somehow. Like, they're gonna make it somehow. And in that scene, I was like, not sure at all.
He brings that unpredictability, right? Whenever he pops into the screen, like even Killers of the Flower Moon, like, you don't know what that person is going to do when he like shows up knocking at the door, right? Like, kuch bhi ho sakta.
Except he's in the good side there, I think.
He's in the good side there. Yeah. But like, still, like, there is that level of like, ooh, what's this guy going to do?
Yeah. Right? And there's the extra menace, right? Of just those red transparent glasses is adding an extra dimension to the character.
He's just unhinged, right? Without the glasses, he would be like 5% less unhinged.
Yeah.
Even if he did the exact same thing.
Exactly.
But here, this scene is a great example of what Garland is able to do, right? He's not particularly a sentimental guy, right? We know that. We've seen his movies. But here, and the movie, this Civil War as a whole, you could sense that the sentimentality is kind of creeping in, right? Which is very, very unusual. Like, just the arc of Jesse and Lee that we've spoken
about. Just like it feels like a love letter to a journalist from the start.
Yeah, there is a kind of a hopefulness in the movie, which is very unexpected. But this scene that you're talking about, Jesse Plemons scene, this is like full like old school Hollywood. No, the opposite, right? Okay. There is menace, which we expect from him. Like, he's made like Annihilation, this hopeless movie. But his hopelessness, how he chooses to end it, is with this elderly guy sacrificing himself like Han Solo or something, right?
Yeah.
Which is where the sentiment, this is not a Garland movie. Like, I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah. Which is a good thing tells you, right? Like, why has the character been hanging around? Like you know, because the entire time they've been complaining, you know, he's like basically like he's gonna get himself killed. But like, he gets himself killed, but like by doing like something beyond his means.
Almost. Like, pure heroism, right? And he drives like Tom Cruise or someone, like God. But anyway, the what also the scene does is it breaks Jesse, right? Like, Jesse breaks after this scene. As does Joel, but we don't really follow him. We follow her, our emotional attachment is more with the girl. So, iske baad to she's gone, right? She's like, oh my God, what have I just witnessed? I'm broken. And which is why she turns into more of a, I don't want to say vulture, because she hasn't reached that point. But she is kind of
ready. You can sense that she's on that path.
Yeah. Which is what he wants you to think. Like, she's still evolving, but she's going in the, maybe not the correct direction. There's enough to talk about in this movie, just character-wise, even though the characters are, initially they feel like archetypes, right? But then there is more to it. And there it is talking about journalism also. Like, it is, I find it very curious that he could have framed this movie from the perspective of like literally anybody. Like, Children of Men was like one thing, you have like a grieving father, whatever, this, that, you know, Last of Us, this, that. Kuch bhi ho sakta tha. But here it's like, we want it to be from the perspective of four journalists, right? Four different.
Yeah, not even like, you know, like you pick a team and you put like one journalist, one something. Yeah. He's like deliberately four journalists together.
Four journalists of different kinds. Like, I almost expect like a podcaster or a YouTuber to pop up. But there is like a vice type person also who shows up, right? Beachman, when they reach Charlottesville, like for one scene, who's like embedded with the rebel, Western faction. I don't know. But there are those people as well. And plus, you have like this uncle from New York Times. What will he do? But he's there just to represent.
He's represent the old guard, basically, that he's still like hanging on. Because like Wagner Moura's character makes a joke, right? Early on, he's like, oh, you're still alive, New York Times.
Whatever's left of the New York Times, he says. Which is very Trumpy. I think there are a couple of more Trumpy kind of references which I passing.
There are, but I feel like it also doesn't go too far, right? Like, it could have easily made Nick Offerman's like character completely like Trump if they wanted to. But he holds back their garland. Like, I think he wants to ensure that, you know, that this could also happen under like any president, not just some crazy.
No, but the scary thing is that I'm guessing that Nick Offerman's character was Trump adjacent, even though not we don't really get a sense of the mannerisms or any of that. But then he was like an insane person, right? We get that idea. Now, what Trump incited in real life, which is the insurrection, right? Those people were the villains.
Yeah.
But here, the people who are carrying out the insurrection are the heroes, in a way. Was their top
leader? Yeah, the heroes, in a way, depending on like, what side you're on. Because like, the movie never really explains. Because like, that's how you get into the thorny stuff of it. Like,
no, but like, we know, for instance, that the president is not nice. Right? He's been shooting his own people, bombing his own country. Journalist ko maar diya hai, 14 mahine se interview nahi kiya hai. You know, the country is at war literally. So we know he's not a nice person. So the people who are fighting him by default must be quote unquote the heroes. Which is the interesting
thing. But like, also like it ensures like, you know, that it's not completely like good versus evil thing.
Correct.
Like again, like Wagner Moore's character is given that thing. Na? Like he says that, oh, you really expect like Texas and California to get along after they're done.
Huh.
Like they're going to start like, you know, infighting after they kill the president.
That photograph right at the end, right? There are photographs kind of like just peppered throughout the movie, right? The photograph that Jesse kind of takes. But then also like the end credits unfold over a photograph that is like, I don't know, developing before our eyes. But that photograph itself is kind of scary, right? So if you, like me, have sat through the end credits because you were too rattled to get up, then you have watched what that photograph contains, which is like people gleefully smiling.
Yeah, yeah. People smiling over the dead body, which is basically what you get like around the world. You've seen that, right? With Gaddafi or as you mentioned,
like, and Saddam, people like him. Famously.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, all of that is...
Which is what I think, like, in a way, I think, like, Garland has always been, like, I think, aware of that. Like, he's not making a movie just about, like, as we spoke about, right? It's just American politics. He is trying to comment on, like, what America does to the world in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, like, happening home turf in now.
Yeah, I think, which is what he thinks. He thinks, like, the strongest way to make an impression on like whatever, the U.S. audience, I think, he thinks, is to, if you make a movie about, like, somewhere in the North Africa, Middle East, like, he thinks they're gonna care. So to bring it home, if he's like, he can make a stronger point while communicating and while sort of, like, commentating on some of the stuff that is happening back home.
It also helps that he is
like, I think, British.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It also helps that he has, like, an outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
And that to like a British perspective, which is like not particularly like going to be complimentary, is going to be pretty nihilistic also. So that's happening. Like, it's like almost like when Wim Wenders made like Paris, Texas or something, right? He's like, this is how we view America. Ke tum log bade lonely ho. But yahan pe, this is how the rest of the world kind of sees America, right? Like, just insane people fighting amongst each other. That's because it's documented.
Like, we speak English and like it's always like we read English. It is called the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, right? But for those countries, it's the American War.
Yeah.
So if you start like collating and like, you know, like noting down, there's probably like a dozen American wars since like World War II.
Yeah. No, but that's also the interesting thing, right? The reason why this movie plays the way that it does is because of how conflicts like this have been documented by Western media, right?
Yeah.
Now, the documentation of conflict is about as important as the conflict itself. Now, the reason why, for instance, what's happening in our country, it's not being documented as widely by the international press as what is happening in America, right?
Yeah.
So we consume differently. So I think that is something that the movie understands. Very smart of it to kind of note those things.
Yeah, because like if they wanted, like the Western forces were showing in this movie, like if they wanted, like they don't have to carry the press around, right? It's almost like a liability for them wherever you're going. So like, you don't have to have the press. You can just be like, yeah, we're doing our job. Like, screw you. Like, you come and find out what happened after that. But
yeah,
embedding the press itself is in a way like a move to say that, you know, like, you know, we are in a way fighting for the people because you're willing to show what you're doing while you're going through it.
Yeah. Did you watch this movie at IMAX?
I know it.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was like Oppenheimer-level IMAX experience.
Incredible and sometimes probably a little too much. Like that scene where they first like, you know, start... Remember that building where they're hiding and they get...
Yeah.
That scene was like...
Give you a taste of...
But it just like was too loud, I felt. My watch was going... Like, I have a noise thing set up on my watch. It was just going off. It's like, what the hell is happening? Are you like in some like dying? Are you okay?
No, because I think it wants to shock your system.
Yeah.
And prepare you also for what's to come, which is much more intense, right? That final sequence is much more intense than the beginning.
It just like, it did not stop. Like there was like gunfire and like helicopter and tank sounds for like 15 minutes straight.
Yeah. As I always, a great sign of gauging a movie's quality is when the loudest members of the audience shut up. And I was, first half miss, there were people chit-chatting or whatever. I was getting annoyed. But then those people didn't utter a word.
So I had a funny thing. I think I had like four people in the entire theater.
Achha.
And after that, two of was my brother and I. so basically, it's two other people. And at halftime, you know, because it's independent day and we have halftime for every movie. The guy next to me, the third person or whatever, he perverts to me. He's like, oh, this whole movie is journalist ke baare mein kya? I thought it was something else. And I was like, this guy just read the title Civil War and he entered theater. He has no idea what the film is about.
I was like, bhaiya, kuch bhi ho sakta hai, but I don't.
Yeah. But like Civil War, likha hai, andar achha milega, kuch try karte.
Surprisingly, the one I went to was midday Sunday and it was there was a decent crowd. Also, the theater I went to was pretty huge. Like it's the biggest IMAX in the city. It was a decent crowd for that, which is good. But yeah, really good experience. I liked this movie.
Okay, it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Right. That's all for this episode of The Long Take. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Threads at The Long Take Pod. You can write to us at thelongtakepod@gmail.com. Please leave us a rating and a review with every episode, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.